I need to acknowledge that we start this morning. I like having the sound of kids in here. Isn't that great? I mean, it's been a while. I know. Now, I know some of you parents are going to come up to me later and be like, I'm so sorry, my kid was like, no, forget it. I've missed it. I think we've all missed it. It just reminds us our mission as a church. It reminds us to have young people around and to pour into them and love on them and reminds us of the next generation, reminds us how important it is what we are doing. So we're talking about prayer, and isn't it true? Everyone in the room has the best of intentions when it comes to promising things or doing things, whether that's being a good husband, being a good wife, being a good parent. We have the best of intentions. We have the best of intentions when we want to be good neighbors, and we make promises to one another about, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to help you out. Every single person in the room, here's what I know about you, because it's true about all of us. We have the best of intentions. The best of intentions. Those of you watching the same way, you have the best of intentions to follow Jesus, to do the right things, to follow along. But, and this is what's true for all of us, there's a difference between intentions and actions. And most of us, if we admit where we fall short is, man, we have the best of intentions. But somewhere along the line, we have this gap between what we intend to do and what we really do, okay? And if this ever happened in your home where you know, your spouse has said something, you're like, well, I intended to do that. Well, see, they don't know that. They don't know your intentions. And what they're looking for is action. What your neighbors are looking for is action. What your kids are looking for is action. Intentions, well, that's nice, but that doesn't do anything. That doesn't change anything. That doesn't move anybody in a new direction. What changes everything is actions. And I think this is really true about prayer. So, how many times have you said to somebody, I will pray for you? Maybe you're in a conversation after church. Maybe you read a Facebook post and you looked at that person and said, oh, I am so sorry that happened to you. I'm so sorry for the difficulties you're going through. I'm sorry for what you're experiencing, and I will pray for you. Okay? How many times do you actually do it? Right? And this is not just to make everybody feel guilty and feel lousy about ourselves and, oh, probably this week. If we'd be honest, this just happens because we have the best of intentions when it comes to relationships and the people in our lives that we love them and we care about them, and we know one of the greatest things we could do for them is to pray for them. And so we're having a conversation, and maybe we don't know what else to do, and we know, well, I know what I can do for you. I can pray for you. But if we're all honest, there seems to be a gap between this intention, I'm going to pray for you, and really praying for that person. If you saw the movie Overcomer, the latest and that was a couple years ago. The latest by the Kendrick brothers, who've been putting together movies like Fireproof and Courageous, they talked about this whole thing in that movie. This gap between what I intend to do and what I want to do. When I come to prayer, I intend to pray for you. I know you need prayer and I know you need things, but how many times do I actually do it? So that's what we want to talk about this morning in this last part of the subject on prayer. How can we better move from intention to action? And I think sometimes it just helps by reading a biblical narrative that talks about this. So, Samuel, if you ever remember that name from the Old Testament. Now, Samuel was the last of a group we might consider a prophet or a judge. And he's right in that transition period where Israel starts looking around them, okay? They've moved into the promised land. They've been there for a while. The book of Judges is kind of a roller coaster. They get it right, they get it wrong. God delivers them. Everything's great. That person dies. They go right back to what they were doing before. And so they start looking around them and they go, wait a minute. They have a king. They have a king. And they have a king. Why don't we have a king? And why can't we have a king? And so it gets to the end where Samuel's kind of getting to the end of his life, the end of what God has called him to do. And they just start looking at Samuel going, you know what? We really don't like your kids, and we don't want them being in charge. We want a king. Give us a king like everybody else. And so This is the narrative we're going to kind of look into, where they've asked for a king. They've begged to give us a king. Samuel takes it really personally, and God comes to him and says, Samuel, this is not about you. This is about me. This is not about them rejecting you. This is about them rejecting me, that I'm their king. And I am their Lord. I'm the one they should be looking at for direction. So this is not about you, Samuel. This is about me. They want a king, give them a king. Okay? Give it to them. Because they're going to see how much this costs them and how different this is. And so this is the narrative that goes on, where they want a king, and here's Samuel, and he's trying to decide what to do. So we're going to look into that in 1 Samuel chapter 12, okay, where we're going to see this, okay? And here's where it starts. Here's what Samuel says. You need to realize, he's telling to the people, and see what a great sin you have committed before the Lord by asking for a king for yourself. So this is 1 Samuel chapter 12. We're going to look at a couple different verses in here. And he says, you need to understand, you blew this. Not with me, you blew this with God. You got to realize you've committed a great sin when you did this. Okay, he continues. All the people said to Samuel, look at this, pray to the Lord your God on behalf of us, your servants, so we won't die, for we have added to all our sins by asking for a king. Now, what do you think Samuel's going to do? Come on, let's just be honest for a moment, step in Samuel's role. The people have just looked at you and said, what? We don't like your kids, okay? We don't like your family. We don't like you. We think you're done. We want a king. That had to be incredibly personal to hear that. That the nation that he tried to lead since he was a little boy in the temple, right? There's something powerful about that, being in the tabernacle setting, leading for all those years. And then he gets to this point, right? And he's trying to tell the people, do you know what you've done against God? And they say, what? You need to pray for us, right? We've really blown this. You need to pray for us. And I couldn't help but step into this narrative and go, man, would that be one of those times you'd be tempted to pray the prayer you shouldn't pray? God, strike your people dead. Let them know who you are, right? Would you just be tempted to kind of pray a little revenge prayer? Now, I want you to see what Samuel does in reaction to this. Because I think what he does is a great lesson for us about moving from intention to action and what he is going to say about this. So the people are begging him, Samuel, you got to pray for us. Yeah, we blew it. You need to go to God and you need to ask him to forgive us. So here we go. These are verses 20 to 23. This is where Samuel is now going to respond to this request and decide, is he going to pray for them? Is he really going to pray for them? Is he really going to make it an action or just an intention? Okay? Then Samuel said to the people, so here comes his speech. Don't be afraid. You have indeed sinned. Now, I think this is interesting because he didn't try to say, oh, people, it's okay. No. Guys, you blew it. Okay? This is what I love about Scripture. We don't deal with people and try to lessen how they break God's commands. We deal with them honestly. This is what Samuel does, okay? People don't need to hear, oh, let's just take scripture and lessen it. Oh, maybe God's really not mad that you sinned. No, he says, don't be afraid, but you did sin. You did break God's command. You did ask for a king, and you rejected God as your king. Continues, however, don't turn aside from the Lord. That might be your reaction. Don't turn aside from the Lord. In fact, I want you to serve the Lord with all your hearts. I want you to give him all you have. And maybe you haven't done that before, Israelites, people of Israel, but I want you to give him all that you have. You should not turn aside after empty things that can't profit and can't deliver, since they're what? Empty. Don't go there. Don't run to those things. Don't do those things. The Lord will not abandon his people. Why? Because he wants to uphold his great reputation. Do you understand? God has a reputation too. God is who he says he is, and he will do everything he says that he will do. And so Samuel looks and he says, you need to be reminded who God is and who God is, and that he is faithful when we are unfaithful, that he continues to do things and he continues to be God and he continues to act according to who he is in spite of what we do. And all of us should be really grateful that's who God is, that God is consistent, that we know who God is, that God forgives when we ask, so that we don't have to wonder, oh, I think I really blew it. Am I really sure God forgave me? I'm glad I don't have to wonder that. Now, the enemy might come and whisper, are you sure you're forgiven? You really blew it, Ed. I don't know. Okay? The enemy loves to do that, to get me to doubt God's goodness and God's love and his forgiveness. But you understand, because God is who he says he is, you can count on that when you ask for it, you are forgiven. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. Doesn't matter what gets whispered. Okay? God is who he says he is. He will do everything he says he will do. And because of who he is, Samuel looked and he said, of course he'll forgive you. Do you understand who he is? Because of who he is, you are going to be the people, his people, and he is going to work. The Lord was pleased, he says, to make you his own people. Now, this is 1 Samuel. Any of you ever read the book of Exodus or Judges and ever wondered, really? The Lord was pleased to make you his people? Do you understand? This is what the New Testament tells us as well about us, that God was pleased to adopt us into his family. This wasn't God going, well, I guess I got to accept that. He asked for forgiveness, and that's who I am. So, yeah, you get to be. You understand that what God does, it says, no, you are all in, right? And he is pleased to do that. It's not like he goes, oh, I really wanted this person. I guess I'll take you. That's not how God operates, and you need to know that, because it'll totally change your view of who God is. That he loves you, he chose you, and he doesn't look at you and said, gosh, I wish I could have done better than that. That's not how God operates. That's how the enemy operates. Because if he can get you to think less about yourself and less about who God created you to be, then all of a sudden you start behaving less than what God has created you to be. And he wins. The Lord was pleased to adopt you and me into his family. He's not sad by it. He's not disappointed in it. He was pleased to adopt us into his family. For as far as I am concerned, now listen to the depths that Samuel takes this concept of praying. Now we could say, yeah, but Samuel's the prophet. He's supposed to. No, that's not what he's saying here. As far as I'm concerned, far be it to me, for me to sin against the Lord. So what's he consider sin? By ceasing to pray for you. Okay, Samuel takes it a notch. I'm telling you, nobody else takes it to this point. For Samuel, even though these people rejected him, ultimately rejected God, spoke bad about his family, he thought of it as a sin, totally missing the mark of what God desires for us, if he didn't pray for the people. I'm telling you, I doubt there's few moments that he intended to pray and didn't pray because of the level he took it to. That's a whole new level. I certainly don't think of it like that, and you probably never thought about that either. You had a casual conversation with somebody, and you said, oh, I'm so sorry for what you're going through. I will pray for you. Things are out of control. It's a busy week. You meet them the next Sunday, and you go, uh-oh. Guess what I didn't do? I didn't pray for them this week, okay? Probably you felt bad. Probably you felt a little regret. Probably you thought, oh, I really wish I had done it. I doubt any of you thought, I sinned, I better repent. It's not how we think about having the opportunity to pray for somebody, forgetting to pray for somebody, and then that gap that Samuel said, you know what that gap is for me? That gap's sin. Can't do it. That's missing the mark, that's going against what God wants me to do if I don't pray for you. I'm just telling you, that's a totally different level. I've read this passage over and over and go, my goodness. I can just guarantee you that Samuel prayed for them Why? Because of the depths he took it to what would what he thought if he didn't. One translation says, I surely will surely not stop praying for you. I will not stop. I will not stop. If I did, I would be sinning against the Lord. That's how one translation puts it. If I did, if I just stopped, if I didn't, if I told you I would but didn't, I would be sinning against the Lord, and I don't want to do that. So, continues and says one more thing. I will instruct you in the way that is good and upright. See, I want to know, Samuel did not intend to pray. He prayed, and he considered it a sin against God not to. So, I think for us today, where we have to go is, how can we do better? How can we do better? How can you read that post on Facebook and hear about what's going on with somebody and go in the comment section? And we have such good people to do that when we do it for our Thrive Church group, right? We even have an emoji now, okay? You don't even have to type the word pray. You just have to click the little hands together emoji, and that symbol's what? I am praying for you, okay? And so we'll put stuff out there because people will share with us. Somebody's in the hospital, somebody, you know, whatever is happening with people. And we'll get you and you'll respond, and you guys do a great job. How do we do better? To make sure we're moving from intention to action. Because that's really what matters. All the intentions in the world are wonderful, but they really don't make a difference for anybody, including us. We want to be people of action, because that's what God is. God is a God of action. He didn't just say he loved us. He demonstrated it by coming, walking into this broken, fallen world, dying on a cross, and rising again for our salvation. So we don't sit there and say, well, am I sure God loves me? No, he just left, no doubts, by doing something about it. So I kept thinking, how can we all do better? How can we all do better that when we're in our casual conversations, when we see a request on Facebook, when I send out an email because somebody has sent me one and said we need to pray for that, how can we do better and move from this intention that's well-based, but if we'd be honest, it doesn't quite often fall into action? So I want to give you three simple things. These are not hard. These are really not very much spiritual. They're just to kind of help us, okay, to do that. So first one, write it down. Write it down. How many of you, okay, and you don't have to raise your hand, but think about this. You used to remember everything, and then I don't know what birthday it was where you just stopped. Right? I'm finding this out, and it freaks me out, okay? And about the rest of you, okay? But I'm like, wait a minute, I never forget anything. This is bad, okay? This is bad, okay? We get older, unfortunately, right? And that means we forget. We just forget. And sometimes you'll arrive the next Sunday and see that person, and just to be honest, not a bunch of guilt on you or anything else, you just forgot. Oh, why? You got busy. And things were going on, and you had school schedules and everything else to figure out and sort out, and you just forgot. And maybe the simplest thing you could do is write it down. Do you know most of you have an app in your phone for reminders, right? You could just click on that, and you could type it in real quick, and you could just set a reminder. And then probably when that notification is on, you're like, what's that? Oh, that's right. I said I would pray for this person. And so write it down. I'm serious. You've talked to them. You know what it is. Write it down. Because just that act will help you to say, I don't want to just intend to pray. I actually want to pray for them. And if I write myself a note or I put in a reminder app, I do something, it's going to help me move from intention to action, because that's where I want to be. I want to be a person that just doesn't intend to do the right thing, but actually does do the right thing. And that's what I know all of you want to. You all want to be those individuals that do it. Just start very simple. Write it down. Number two, follow up with the person. Follow up, because that's going to help you to remember, okay? So if you have a conversation this morning with somebody, and they tell you, hey, Tuesday's a big day. I got a job interview. I've got a medical test, right? It's a big exam at school, right? Something big going on Tuesday, okay? So you've wrote yourself a note. Can I tell you what the best thing to do to help you remember them? Text them. Text them on Wednesday. Text them Tuesday nights. Because then all of a sudden, now I'm following up. Now I'm asking, hey, how did that go? How'd it go? Because if I'm intending to, now if I'm going to schedule an action to follow up, now it's going to help me remember even more I need to pray for them. Because now there's this, I need to follow up with them. And maybe it's the next Sunday. Okay, I got to remember, next Sunday, right? I'm going to write down, I'm going to go find that person. I'm going to ask them how it went. Right? You're too busy to contact them during the week. That's fine. Next Sunday, you're going to make a beeline to do that. You're going to text them. You're going to get a hold of them. You're going to call them. You're going to do something. If you plan to follow up, it will help you to say, okay, I'm moving from intention to action. I'm going to do something now. I'm going to pray for them. Today's the day. Tuesday's the day. They said today was it. Big test, big medical issue coming up. Right? Whatever it is. Okay, it's Tuesday, I'm going to pray for them, and then I'm going to find a place to follow up so I know how they are doing. If you plan to do that, it will help you to remember to pray for them. Third one's even better if you have an opportunity to do that. Don't wait. Pray with them. Right there. Do you understand? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to make a promise to do something later. I'm going to do that now. There's something very powerful about having somebody pray with you in that moment, okay? And let's just be honest. Yeah, but everybody else in the room is talking, and it's going to feel awkward. I'm just going to tell you what I told you last week. We have to move past awkward sometimes if we're going to do things that are going to help people, and if we're going to take actions to be the type of Christ followers we need to be. Yeah, the room might be loud. It might be noisy. It might feel weird to do that in the moments, okay? Let's just set all that aside for a moment and say, what if the next time I'm having a conversation, I just pray with them? I've watched people on Facebook, okay? I've watched people on Facebook actually type in a prayer, okay? Because now you know, oh, they actually thought about it for a moment, okay? And it's probably a weird thing to do, but I think it's somebody trying to say, if I say I'm going to, I don't know if I will later. Why don't I just do that with them now? And maybe that would help us even more to move from intention to action. Because now I'm doing that. And I'm not waiting. And I'm hoping I don't forget tomorrow. And I'm hoping I don't get too busy and actually remember it. Or see my reminder that I just built into my phone. I'm actually going to do it right there. I'll put my arm around them and pray for them. And, well, maybe we shouldn't do that, right? It's COVID 6 feet away. And I'm going to pray for them and ask God to work in their life. Just do it right there. Stop and do it right there. If the moment allows you to do that, I don't care. Do it in the middle of Walmart, okay? Walmart needs prayer. I mean, we all need prayer. So, I mean, it's not a bad place. And maybe that would help. Stop right there in that moment and actually pray with them and see what kind of powerful action that becomes. Okay, here's what I'm going to leave you this morning. Praying for or praying with someone, both actions, is one of the greatest gifts we can give each other. I don't know if we've thought about it that way, that this is a great gift I can give to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether you're gathered in person, whether you're online watching us, that this is one of the greatest gifts you give to somebody else. One of the greatest gifts. People remember that you prayed for them. They'll remember more if you even stopped and prayed with them. Right? Well, we're in Mill High Beam, we're both shopping, but I had to tell you what was going on with me, and you just stopped right there and you prayed with me. That was so really, really powerful. You called me on the phone and we prayed together over the phone. That was so powerful. That really helped me and encouraged me. You have no idea how great a gift that could be for somebody else, or what that might do just to encourage them in what they're facing and what they are going through. I wonder if it would help us to move from intention to action if I thought about prayer differently as a gift that I can give somebody else. That I can give somebody else and ask God to work in a powerful way in their life in whatever situation they are going through. I have a couple of pastor friends. We started doing this on Sunday mornings, just texting one another, praying for you today in your church, and try to be specific about things. We know there's something wrong with their health. We know there's something going on with their family. We try to be specific in that. There's something powerful about that, okay? So I know that 7 o'clock on Sunday morning, my phone's going to ding, okay? There's the ding, okay? And I know what that means. That's a reminder for my friend to be encouraged. He's praying for me. And I send a message back about what's going on with him and how are things going in his home and with his family. And that's just been a really, really good thing for us. For me, for my other friends, because we've looked and said, you know what? On Sunday morning, I'm not alone. On Sunday morning, I know that somebody's going to pray for me. And what an incredible gift to get first thing to start your day on a Sunday. Would you think of it like that? A gift you could give somebody else. Gift you could give your spouse. Gift you could give your friends. A gift you could give your brothers and sisters in Christ that are worshiping with you here and worshiping with you online, that maybe the greatest gift we could give somebody else is to pray for them or to pray with them. So we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to help us this week. Help us right now move from intention to action when it comes to praying for somebody else and giving this greatest gift. And then we're going to worship together. So let's pray. Father, what I pray for the most this morning is the false guilt of the enemy that tells us we are bad Christians, that you don't love us because we've done this. We've all done this. We've all fallen short of what you intended. We've all done that. We don't need to experience a bunch of false guilt. We just need to say, I'm done living that way, and I am going to do better with God's help. So, Father, help us to be very intentional so that we move away from intentions and into action. Help us to remember, this is a great gift I give somebody else by praying for them and praying with them. Father, help us to do what's uncomfortable and move past the awkwardness and actually pray with each other, because it's such a powerful, powerful gift. And help us to do it this week. Lord, I know there'll be conversations. I know there's going to be emails and posts to groups this week about praying. This week, Father, we make a decision today. We are not going to be people of intention anymore. We are going to be people of action. And we're going to do this and live it out for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name, amen.